And folks, we need to learn to live in the capacity that the Lord wants us to live in. Amen? We should worship Him all the time. We should praise Him like this all the time. So that when things come in our life, we don't have to try to learn how to do it. Amen? We've already been there. He is that God. All He has to do is speak. He's that great God. He's that almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name. Some of you need to ask yourself, do my neighbor want the God that I serve? Do they want the God that I praise and worship? Does my co-worker want that God? Amen? They need to see your life live the way you'd want to see somebody else live. Do your children want your God? Come on. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles tonight, Matthew 6, we're going to read verse 24 through verse 34. I want to speak to you. We need priorities, but torn between two worlds. You need priorities, but torn between two worlds. In Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not yet arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall we drink, or whither all shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, the world seeks after, folks. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He's telling you that I know that you have needs. But he has something for you to do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Lord, right now, God, I need you, Jesus. God, I need your anointing. I need your touch. I pray, God, that you'll speak here, Lord, in a mighty way, that you'll touch every heart and ear that hears your word here tonight. God, let your will be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Give him a hand clap of praise. You can be seated. Need priorities, but torn between two worlds. Have you ever felt like you were getting mixed messages about what makes life worthwhile? What are the things that can make you truly happy? You see, the world is holding out things like wealth and status and power and popularity. But folks, Jesus, on the other hand, is saying that the poor are blessed, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and the meek shall inherit the earth, and to bless those who persecute you. Talk about mixed messages. It's as if we are living a life that is torn between two worlds. In fact, we are. You see, Jesus is trying to help us distinguish from what is good, better, and best about living our lives in a fallen world. He tells us that no one can serve two masters. Have you ever tried doing that, folks? It's not easy. Have you ever just tried it and failed at it and just get frustrated at yourself? The Lord is telling us in His Word, and we need to understand that His Word is true. See, that because if you do that, it will stretch you in ways that are not very comfortable. Jesus says that we will either hate the one or hold to the other. Or we will hold to the one and despise the other. When it comes to money, you cannot serve God and money. You cannot find fulfillment in God if you really want what the things that money offers you. See, the world tells us to get things, to get more and more things. And in fact, it tells us to extend that kind of thinking even into our relationships. So we swallow the lie and we try to burn the candle at both ends. And we convince ourselves that more money will solve problems. But we discover we create a whole new set of problems, folks, when we pursue the excess of excess for excess's sake. Sometimes we also burn up relationships like candles, and our desires for excess burns and scars everybody involved. Jesus is warning us about the perils of having divided heart when it comes to the things of God and the things of this world. He warns us about it, folks. You see, Solomon was a man whom God blessed with excess. He was the richest king that ever was to live. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I can't imagine that. What a beauty parlor he had to have. Solomon had a lot to contend with, aside from running the kingdom and dealing with so many family issues. But God blessed Solomon with extraordinary wisdom. And Solomon said this about all the getting that we do in this world. In Proverbs 4, verse 7, it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." And Jesus put it in plain language for us in Matthew 6:21. "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You see, the people of Jesus' time were not that different from you or from me. They had bills to pay and taxes to pay. They had aspirations for the children or their children's future. They wanted a new home. They wanted a two-car garage for their chariots. And Jesus' words are meant to untie the knots of their wants and our wants today. Jesus explained that our Heavenly Father will supply all our needs. He'll supply all of our needs. Do you believe that today? The wants are often our own foolish worldly desires. Our wants are all too often unnecessary excess. We have no reason to worry about chasing after the things of the world, folks, when we have a Father who provides everything that we really need. You see, God causes the trees to produce fruit and the ground to produce food. He has given us rivers and streams to drink from. He has covered us with arms of those who love us. And everything we really need tonight has already been provided by Him. But many of us, we are not content with having our needs satisfied. We have wants as well. And the world multiplies those wants again and again to pull us away from what God has provided for us, so that we are no longer content with our needs. We're no longer content with God giving us what He feels we need. Jesus paints a beautiful word picture for us as he tells us to consider the birds of the air and the lilies that are in the field. Jesus tells us that they are provided for, that they are cared for by our Heavenly Father in wonderful ways, even though they are unable to reap or even sow. The birds still sing and the flowers give up beautiful fragrances, even though they are more insignificant to our Heavenly Father than we are. Jesus said not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed as beautiful as one of these. And folks, if God takes such care and such attention to feed the birds and to dress the flowers, how much more does he care for you? Hallelujah. O ye of little faith. Amen. So folks, Jesus tells us that we need to stop worrying about such things and stop worrying about tomorrow's problems. Amen. Each day has enough for us to contend with. Walk by faith. Trust in your God. Hallelujah. Our hearts should desire the things of God instead of the things of this world. What things, folks, has this world got you caught up in seeking after today? What is it that you just got to have that keeps you from doing things for God? What is it that we can't totally commit ourselves to? That we feel we got to be doing this or taking care of that or getting involved in this. What things has this world got you caught up in? Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, folks, our Heavenly Father, he knows what we have need of. And those things that we want from the world, they do not have eternal value. It's just temporal. In all of your getting, get wisdom. And in getting wisdom, get understanding. Folks, understand. I want you to understand something tonight. That no one loves you more than your Heavenly Father. Nobody loves you more than Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Turn away from the world. Turn away from its vain treasures. In Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Where their treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen to me. I shouldn't have people stepping down from positions and places that you're doing things in this church. You ought to be saying, is there anything else I can do? If you're stepping down in areas, you got your eyes in the wrong place. That's not in my notes, that's free. What are the three most important things in your life? Think about it tonight. What are the three most important things in your life right now? Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe the word of God? If you put him first in your life, do you believe that God will take care of you, that he'll meet your needs? There was a book written, The Time Trap, by a man named Alec McKenzie. He said, nothing is easier than being busy and nothing more difficult than being effective. How true these words ring out to us in the hustle and the bustle and hurry-up world that we live. With so many demands upon our lives, it is becoming very difficult to stay focused on the things that are most important to us. Trivial matters that drain us of our emotional and physical strength distract us from the vital matters of our lives, and such as our relationship with God, our spouse, and our family. The result is disaster spiritually, emotionally, and physically. The answer is to determine what is most important in your life and doing them first. This is called prioritizing. A priority is not necessarily what you spend most of your time doing. A priority is what you make time to do. One of the marks of a Christian maturity is being able to determine what is important and to make sure that the important things get first attention. I have found that the Christians that are most satisfied and enjoy life the most are those who have made the following top priorities in their lives. Number one is their relationship with God. Number two is their relationship with their families, beginning with their spouse. Number three is their commitment to their church and the work of God. When you can maintain these priorities in your life, and you will find yourself a happier and healthier individual, reaching effectively the goals you have set for yourself. He says, the most important thing to remember is to keep the main thing the main thing. Come on. If you're here tonight and you are a leader in your home, you need to lead in the direction that God wants you. Don't take your family the opposite direction. Because you think you know what's best. You lead them to live for God. I said this morning, I lived the way I lived and I did the things that I did. And I put my family and the things of God first because I had young children in my house watching me. And I wanted them to see that living for God is the most important thing. It's better than any ball game you could take them to. Folks, it's better than anything, any kind of club you can get them involved in. Come on. What I wanted to see out of my boys was them shout and praise God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's what I wanted to see in their life. And I said like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on. God's promises are true, folks. Why is it important to place your relationship with God first in your priority list? I know it's Sunday and I don't care. I'm asking you a question. Anybody got a question? Can you answer that? Anybody? Why is it important to place your relationship with God first in your priority list? Because he said, seek you first. Anybody else? That's it. You see, a relationship with God brings order to a person's life. And without it, all other relationships will be negatively affected. See, we got it backwards. Listen, I'm your pastor and I'm admonishing you tonight. Folks, put God first. Put God first. Lead in the way that God would want you to lead. What benefit comes to a family when dad and mom make having healthy relationship with each other a top priority in the home? You have less fussing. You have more peace. And when mama's happy, everybody's happy. You see, listen, the thought being like the relationship with God, the relationship between a husband and wife affects the relationship between you and your children and other people around you. It's no different than with God. If you put God first, folks, it's going to line up everything else. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I grew up in this since I was 4 or 5 years old.
But one of the things I understand is the Word of God is true. And I know that if you put it where it's supposed to be in your life, it'll help you. And why do we fight it? Why do we fight the things that God tells us to do? Why do we try to do it our own way? If you weren't here this morning, you need to listen to the message. But it's the Antichrist thinking. Do it, fix it yourself. Do it your own way. I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. And I want to take my family with me. And I want to take each and every one of you with us. So I ask you this right now. In your own words, explain to me Matthew 6:33. So what does seek ye first? And all these things, what does that mean to you? What does it? What does seek ye first? And depart all these things. What does that mean to you tonight? Do you believe that scripture? Well, let me tell you something. Actions speak louder than words. Now, it's easy to say you love God. It's easy to say you want to be a Christian. And it's easy to come to church a few nights a week. But do you live it at home? When you wake up every day and your thought of going to work and your thought of maybe wanting a bigger place or your thought of wanting a better car or your thought of all these, does that line up with the scripture? You have to have those things. If you did get those things, would you still live for God like you're supposed to? Or can you look at your life and say, God has blessed me. Do I treat Him like I should? Do I really thank Him? Am I really showing Him that I appreciate all He's done for me? You folks are being too quiet. In your words, does anybody want to do it tonight? Explain to me, what does seek ye first and all these things, what do they mean to you? Right? Anybody? That's it. Has God ever done this for anybody in their lives? When you put God first, has He taken care of needs in your life? Now, I know I'm blowing your minds tonight because I'm just doing it totally different. I don't care. But I want to make a point, folks. I'm feeling burdened here. I'm feeling that sometimes we're going in places and we're going in directions that we're not pleasing God. As a church, and I want us to rein ourselves in because I want you to think about what you're doing and how you're thinking. I want you to understand that when you live for God, He's going to bless your life. God wants to save your children. God wants to save your neighbor. God wants to save your extended family. But tell you folks, until we get our minds in a place that God wants us, we're not going to have the revival that we say we want. I want to see God bless. I want to see your family members sitting in this church. I want to see your neighbors sitting here. But are we putting God first? Does that child, does that relative of yours, does that neighbor, that coworker, do they see God in you? Do they see what's important to you? What is important to you? If you were to ask them, when you see me, what do you see? What do you think they'd tell you? Do they see God as first in your life? Do they know that you love your church? Do I have to get this t-shirt so they can see that you love your church? Because we can get them made up. And we will one of these times. But folks, they ought to see it in your life. Come on. Do they see the peace of God in your home? Or do they hear the arguing from the house next door? What do your children see important in you, parents? That being in the house of God is important? That doing things for the church is important? Do they see that? Come on, do you see where I'm trying to go tonight? I'm trying to jog us here a little bit tonight, folks. Get us back on track. We need to put God first. It's so easy to get caught up in wanting what the world thinks is important. See, when you're in a relationship with God, just like in a relationship with a husband and wife, and you're doing the things that God wants you, it makes everything around you better. So, I want you to think about this as you leave here tonight. What does seek you first in all these things? What does it really mean to me? The number one priority for every Christian should be their relationship with God. I'll say that again. I didn't hear, but one amen, I think. The most important thing for every Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, should be their relationship with God. Now, can you say like David said in Psalms 122 and 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Come on. The church has this going on tonight. I'm going to be there. I would like for you to come with me. I'm going down to the church tonight to worship God. Would you go with me tonight? Come on, we're having a dinner at the church. Will you go with me? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Or do they see you trying to skip out? Come on. Is God first in your life? Can you say it like David? Or do you look for every excuse to miss church? Or every excuse not to fellowship with the saints? What would you suggest that one would need to do to maintain a healthy relationship with God? What do we need to do to maintain a healthy relationship with God? To maintain a healthy relationship with the church that is so important? Come on, you know it and I know it. If it wasn't for the church, you wouldn't be serving God. We need each other. You can sit there and try to tell yourself you don't, but you're foolish. And I love you. I'll try to help you get smarter. Come on, folks. I know if it wasn't for the church, this guy wouldn't be up here yelling at you tonight. I thank God for the church. I love the church. I was raised in it. I raised my family in it. I believe in the church. The bride of Christ. We sang that song, we're preparing ourselves and we want to be with God. Do we really? Come on, I'm feeling a heaviness tonight, folks. I'm feeling that God is trying to shake us here and say, come on, let's get your priorities back where they need to be. Come on, get your focus back where it needs to be. You don't need that special thing you think you need. You don't need this or you don't need that. You need me. I'm not against having nice things, folks. Understand me, I'm not. But if it's taking your vision, if it's taking your priorities away from the things of God, you don't need it. We heard the brother talking about God gave Paul a thorn. in the flesh. It was a gift. If God gives you something to keep you focused on Him, don't try to get rid of it. God understands you better than you understand yourself. And there may be some things that happen in your life, and you think, well, they just keep coming back, come back. Well, maybe God understands if He takes that away from you, you won't pray like you should. You need to say, God, thank you for that. God, it keeps me on my knees. I stand here tonight. Would you suggest that you need to do that you can maintain a healthy relationship with Jesus? Do you need to pray more? Do you need to read your Bible more? Do you need to worship more? Do you need to fellowship more? Whatever it may be for you tonight, I want you to come up here and make a commitment to God that you're going to do whatever it takes to get your priorities where they need to be. And God, I don't want to be struggling between the two worlds. I know where I want to live. I know where I want to be. I know where I need to be. I want you to, throughout this week, I want to ask this church to pray and take a day to fast this week, at least a day, if not more, if you want. But you have loved ones. You have coworkers. You have family members. You have neighbors that so desperately need you to get where you need to be. I believe God wants to give us revival. But revival revives us first. And when we get where we need to be, He'll give us what we need. Come on. You see, folks, God is not foolish. God's not going to give us 100 soul revival and let us bring them in here and put them into cribs and not take care of them. Not going to do it, because you see, God understands that when you bring a baby home, you got to nurse it, you got to take care of it. None of you parents brought your baby home from the hospital, laid him in the bed, say, see you when you're 18. Because God wants us to bring those people in from the world and nurture them. Now, I can ask you now, how many here have children that need God? Come on. How many of you here have a brother or sister that need God? Huh? An aunt or uncle that need God? Come on, I can go right on down the list. You know what I'm saying here tonight, folks. You are a written epistle read of all men. You are probably the only Bible that they're even reading right now. I want you to understand the importance of you living for God. You being where you need to be. Come on, folks. Let's quit dabbling in the world. Let's get our priorities right. I want to live for God. I want to do for His will. I want to take care of my family to live for God. I want to be a part of what the church in Cleveland, Ohio is doing. How about it tonight, folks? Can I get some people to recommit themselves here tonight and say, God, forgive me for my slothfulness. God, help me, Lord God, to understand what I need to be doing.